The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah! Go Cowboys!
This is Talkin' Cowboys. Streaming live from the Dallas Cowboys World Headquarters at the Star in Frisco.
C.D. Lamb. Touchdown.
Parsons has sacked it. Prescott keeps it, and he bangs it in for the touchdown.
Welcome to Talkin' Cowboys, presented by Black Rifle Coffee, the official coffee sponsor of the Dallas Cowboys. We are live from the Star in Frisco here in the SWBC podcast studio. I am Josh Rodriguez, still filling in for Kyle Yeomans, here with Nick Harris, Isaiah Stanbeck, John Machota, with Christopher Beamer in the back.
This is the real live show that everybody should be watching, not the doggone Tom Brady roast.
It's like that.
Yeah.
It really is. I'm feeling euphoric being here with you guys. Seriously, It's great to be here.
Yeah. I know you had like a plan for this show, Josh, but we should just pivot and make an Isaiah Stanback roast the entire
45 minutes. I would be game for that.
Yeah?
I think you would be. Like, you're pretty easy going. Yeah, like, you could take it on the chin. And
John, you first.
Yeah.
Lay into him, man. He's awesome. Like, honestly, man, I hate you. And it's like, that's it. That's the joke.
Nah, that was... No, you watched it, right?
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah. So good.
Yeah.
Like we were just saying before that we started doing the show right here, like of all the live event type stuff, like awards, roasts, everything, anything that's like live TV, I'll put that thing up against any of it. It was from beginning to end. I mean, it's not for everybody. There's going to be jokes in there that people aren't going to probably like or appreciate or whatever, but man, that thing was...
Who was the best?
So from a comic standpoint, I thought it was Nikki Glaser. I mean, that's her business. That's what she does. I mean, she's very good at what she does. Now, the other people that were up there, it's just very clear that their jokes were written by somebody professionally, but you still have to deliver them.
Yeah.
But I honestly, to me, it's not even about the best. It's that really nobody was bad.
Yeah.
You know, I said Ben Affleck was kind of, it was okay. I think if you're a Patriots fan, you probably liked it because he came at it from more of a Patriots fan standpoint. You said Wes Welker, but outside of that, like, I can't think of anybody that wasn't there that you'd want to be there other than maybe Eli Manning. But I mean, even Peyton Manning being there, I mean, it was just
he did tweet about it afterwards.
Yeah, go ahead. And he was like, I would have shown him to the roast, but I didn't want to beat him for a third time or something like that.
Dang.
Didn't want to roast him for a third time.
And I'm telling you, if you watch that whole thing and you were ranking jokes, that thing probably runs about number 37 on the list because there was just so much stuff that I figured would be, now that's going to be off the table. They won't be able to say this. And man, everything that you could possibly say.
Once you sign up for a roast, you're signing up to get destroyed.
Edelman, Aaron Hernandez. Hernandez joke was wow. I was like,
the Aaron Hernandez stuff, the Alex Guerrero stuff.
I would have left all Hernandez stuff off. That to me is just off limits. But that's not off limits for everybody.
But even if you're just there and you're a famous person, I mean, Kim Kardashian caught it. I mean, honestly, I thought there were some really good jokes that were directed at Dana White. That I mean, about the UFC
Your seat selection is very important on nights like that.
Yeah,
like you need to be like in the back. Like you don't want to be anywhere near the front where the spotlights are at. Like be tucked off somewhere.
Yeah,
I liked Tony Hinchcliffe. I thought that he was the best.
He was very good
roaster. Like, and he's a traditional. No, he's a comic and everything, and he actually has a show.
Very good
about roasting people. He was the best, and then obviously his shots at Kim Kardashian, even at Kevin Hart in Philadelphia, that was good.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Good 3 hours.
Yeah, I need to go back and watch it.
I don't think you want to watch it.
I don't know if I'm ready for an Oppenheimer size.
Belichick, I heard Belichick did his thing.
Dude, he did.
That's funny.
I don't know if it's not for kids, but with it being that long, like I just really only thought there was maybe 30 minutes of fat on it that you'd have to trim off, maybe. But I don't think that it was really like you could go back to it and if you were like trying to cut it down. Even if you try to cut it down to just the best of the best, I still think it's an hour and a half at least.
There's not a single person you take off. Single person.
Well, I mean, if from a comedy standpoint, I didn't think all the players were really that funny.
Okay.
But there's certain players that you just have to have up there because, you know, they're of their connection with Tom Brady. But I mean, a lot of those Gronkowski jokes made of Gronk, like it was good to have him up there. You know, and then just how it was very apparent how he made it very clear that he was just reading the teleprompter and how, like, Kevin Hart's making jokes. No, Rob, just sound it out, like, stuff like that. He's perfect to have up there for that. God. And he seems to be a good sport about it because he was the butt of a lot of jokes there for sure.
Well, it's fair to say that this was actually like a big week in Dallas sports. I kind of wanted to get into Mavs and Stars. How are we feeling about that, guys? Does that put any pressure on your Dallas Cowboys?
Yeah, where are the Kraken these days?
They're sitting at the crib.
Yeah.
Chilling. Uh-huh. Yeah, we got a new coach coming in, so I'm excited.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I was never gung-ho about that coach. You know what I'm saying? From the time that
you were last year.
I wasn't. Not about the coach. No, not about the coach.
Okay.
Not about the coach.
Right.
About the team. Not about the coach. I disliked the coach from the time that they had their first picks to go take somebody from every roster, and he was picking guys that were development guys. I'm like, go grab the doggone goons like the Vegas team did the year before or 2 years before.
Yeah.
He went out there and started grabbing development guys when he could have grabbed superstars. I was so angry from that point. It's like picking your dodgeball team, and this dude was like picking the guys that are coming off the bench.
And Vegas took it to game 7, if you see that.
They did. Seattle did it the year before. But the Stars came
Not
out.
Quite.
The Stars won both years, so keep going, Stars.
They did.
If the Kraken aren't playing, I'm rocking with the Stars.
Yeah.
Do you think Marshawn Lynch would coach the Kraken? That'd be amazing.
Bro, that'd be the most physical team in the history of the NHL.
I'd like to see it.
That'd be cool.
It'd be entertaining.
He's part owner. So.
You know what would be fascinating? You mentioned the Kraken and the Golden Knights. What would an expansion draft look like in the NFL? Like how many when the Texans came in the league, how many players were the teams able to claim and like
protect?
That's what I mean. Yeah.
That's a Beam question.
Yeah.
Beam, do you remember?
I'm trying to look.
I can't remember.
Right now.
I was around when the Houston Texans came into the league.
I just know
but I couldn't remember with
NBA expansion. At least back when, like, the Magic and Hornets and Timberwolves, I think that you could protect most guys. I think there was only, like, a couple guys that were available that you could pick from on each roster. So I bet NFL-wise, you probably can protect, I would say, 75% of your roster.
It says all 32 current teams could leave 5 players unprotected. So I guess that would be, like, of the 53, man. So you could protect 48 of the 53 guys.
Yeah. But what would be interesting about that is that some of those unprotected guys on some teams would be some good players that the team's like, yeah, we'd like to get rid of this contract. Go ahead and take that guy. And somebody and that expansion team would be like, yeah, that is a lot, but we got money to spend, and that would be a great guy to be kind of a leader or whatever for this team. So I don't think it would just be all nobodies or lower level guys. I think there would be some noble guys. You'd be like, oh, wow, I can't believe they didn't protect that guy.
Just trying to get out of the contract situations there.
Yeah.
I think that's fair.
I have a different perspective on the whole Rangers, Stars and stuff just because I'm not from here.
Yeah.
But to answer your question, I just and this is – like, and I have a hard time explaining this to people because they think because I cover the Cowboys, like I'm a Cowboys fan. I'm not a Cowboys fan at all. I grew up in Detroit. I'm still a Detroit sports fan. But being from there and, like, looking at it from afar, like, no offense to the other teams around here, but, like, there's nothing that they do that has any imprint on the Cowboys.
Really?
No. The Cowboys are they're so much bigger than this area.
Of course.
You know? I mean, I can't give you an exact percentage, but it's not like, okay, like, when you come from Detroit – the amount of Tigers fans that are also Lions fans, I mean, it's got to be in the 90% higher. I mean, if you're a Cowboys fan, like, I'm not just saying in this area, I mean, there's probably a good chunk of your fan base that's Yankees. Lakers and Yankees fans and stuff like that. I'm just saying that.
Yeah.
And this is coming from a perspective of, like, I didn't move down here until I was 28. You know, I just knew about it from, like, afar, you know, and I'm, like, interested. And now I've been down here. I'm 42 now. I've spent some time in the area. And
really? You look great for 42,
you're
John.
A spring chicken.
Wow.
And the rest.
I would not have guessed that.
The rest of, I appreciate it. The rest of the, the rest of.
It's a nice roast.
Oh, yeah. The rest of the teams are having more success. You know, they've all been to at least the conference finals or won a championship since I've lived down here. But the Cowboys brand is so big that it's just, they will always matter. Everything that they do just, it just always matters. It just, it's hard to compare it to anything else because it's really, they are really like Lakers, Yankees, where it's there's a lot of people that love this team that probably have never even stepped foot in the state of Texas.
Would your outlook change if the Stars and the Mavs both won championships this year? So then you would have Rangers, Stars, and Mavs all winning.
See, you couldn't change my perspective in 20 years, it would take.
Here's the thing about that, and this is something that was kind of – I discussed it a lot with Kyle whenever the Rangers were going through their World Series parade and everything like that. If the Cowboys won, the parade would last a week.
Yeah.
Because you would have to do one in Dallas. You would have to do one in Arlington. Damn sure there'd be one out here on the Star District. I mean, there would be 3 different parades you would have to
come. Well, and the other part of that is, too, is I didn't go to the Rangers when I watched the coverage on TV, but I felt like that was probably mostly local people that went to that parade.
Yeah.
If the Cowboys won a Super Bowl, there's a good percentage of people that would fly in from other parts of the country and other parts of the world that would want to be, especially now that there's been the over 28 years of, it would be.
Oh, man.
It's just such a big brand. It's hard to compare it to anything else.
New York parade was crazy, but Dallas might be.
With the wait, if you compound, you know, the years and years and years of waiting for this to finally be a Super Bowl winning team, I think it would last a week. But we wouldn't sleep. But like, nor would you want to sleep.
Yeah.
At least I wouldn't. You know what I mean?
Like, I don't know. I love my beauty sleep. You know? I got to make sure I look like John when I'm 42.
The other thing I'll add in there too is that let's just say that this is a super city that the Lakers are also the NBA team here and the Yankees are the baseball team. I still would think that the Cowboys would reign over all of them just because of the popularity of the NFL is just so far. Like, I mean, when I say reign over them, I mean if those fans could all pick, like only one of our teams can win a championship, who would it be? Those fans, I think, would pick the Cowboys. They're the biggest brand. They have the most fans. They have the most passionate fan base. Win, lose, whatever. It's hard to compare them locally because most big cities that have four major sports teams, there is some similarity between those teams there. And I feel like in Dallas, like the Cowboys are they're just such a huge brand that it's bigger than just, you know, the city.
That's fair.
They're bigger than the state.
That being said, let's get into some news and notes.
Yeah, from Home Run Derby last week. Is that where you want to start, Josh?
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, so the Reliant Home Run Derby, it's a big charity event that the Cowboys do every offseason. They get 10 players together, and they go hit some baseballs out at Rough Riders Field down the street and raise money for charity. We'll start with the charity efforts. Brian Anger, which is hilarious that the punter wins the Home Run Derby. But I saw him
practicing that morning,
and he can rake.
He was like, going.
He can rake. It's quite impressive. I think we were talking to who was it? I think it was Brandon Cooks maybe, and it was like, are you surprised that Brian Anger's doing this? He's like, these specialists, they all got something weird that they're really good at. So, but Brian Anger raised $22,800 for charity, and all the Cowboys raised $104,900 for the Salvation Army. So a really good effort, and they're going on, I think, 8-9 years of doing this event, and they're coming up on raising $1 million total for the Salvation Army. So pretty cool. But also what's pretty cool about the event is we get to spend 3-4 minutes with the players and press them on their off seasons and contracts and things of the sort. So just kind of running down the list here that I had for my article on DallasCowboys.com. The Home Run Derby was the same day Ezekiel Elliott came out with the news that he's actually going to wear 15 instead of 21. We kind of dove into that a little bit, and he said, I just kind of look at it as a different era. I wore 15 last year and wanted to go back. I got unfinished business. I'm here to chase a ring. I think there's a little bit more hunger in Ezekiel Elliott coming in this year than maybe what he was going in with last year in New England, in my eyes, just because, you know, he's back in Dallas. He's back with Dak. I think I don't think he's an RB1. I'll say that. But I think he could be a really good complimentary back to a guy that they could bring in that has, quote unquote, the juice that they're looking for. But we'll kind of see as the offseason nears. I know there's potentially some trade candidates that could work for the Cowboys, but do you want to trade assets for a running back that you might only have for a year or two? They're in a weird kind of position when it comes to that position group right now. Also, Brandon Aubrey, kicker, kind of came out that he had appendix surgery the day after the Pro Bowl. Going into the Pro Bowl, he could feel it being kind of weird. He went to the doctor. They were like, yeah, you need to get that out. And he was like, put me on meds. I'm trying to get through the Pro Bowl. And so he went on the meds, got through the Pro Bowl, and then the very next day got his appendix removed. Right, and then he's been sitting on his butt for 6 weeks. And he said it's been great, and he was able to get back to kicking rather recently. And he said it's like riding a bike. It was nothing too foreign to him going back to kicking, because you have to think that's the longest break he's taken from kicking since he started kicking,
right.
From going back to his soccer days. So we can start with those couple of notes. Y'all want to dive into some things there?
Well, another one I wanted to bring up, Stephen Jones was on Mad Dog Radio, I think it was yesterday, talking about the Dak contract yet again. And I don't want to delve too deep into this, but he did say he wanted it to be – they're making it a priority to re-sign Dak to an extension. Now, what are your thoughts on that at this point? I mean, we're kind of long in the tooth at this point when it comes to Dak contract.
I still stand on the mountain that I stood on a while back by saying that I believe that I'm in the mindset that you should allow Dak to play his last year. And you roll the dice there and you make him prove it. And you understand that you might have to pay one heck of a pretty penny. And you also understand that you might lose a quarterback. You know, that's a part of gambling. I mean, that's what it is. And that's what you do every year that you draft. It's an educated gamble, but it is a gamble. And I think that if it were me making the decisions, I want to see what you're made of. I want to see what you got. I want to see the head coach with his back against the wall, and I want to see my quarterback with their back against the wall. What can you guys collectively do together to change the outcome that we've had since you stepped foot on this team? And that's no knock on Dak. That's no knock on McCarthy. That's no knock on anything that they've done. But I want to see it, because if I'm going to pay premium, I need to see premium. And I've seen it in the regular season, but what you're asking me to pay for, I'm not paying for that production for just the regular season. And I just need to see it. And that you would do that if you guys were building a custom home. If you guys, if we had $2 million right now, it's like, here, let's go build a custom home from the ground. You're not going to go with people who just do good work. You want to see, show me the great work that you've done. And that's not being disrespectful. It's just like, hey, this is meaningful to me. I care a lot about this. This is my money. I want to know that you can do the job exactly the way in which I projected to be. And if you can't, then I'm going to go with the next best man.
I understand the sentiment completely. Like, I understand where you're coming from. And I want to see this entire group put under a little bit of pressure, too, and see how it kind of works out for them. Hasn't worked great in the past whenever pressure has been applied. But let's see, you know, in a year's case, in a vacuum, maybe that would be a little bit better. However, in my eyes, if I was the one making these decisions up in the front office, I'm trying to get him signed immediately. I don't want him going into the year, playing out his final year of his deal. Look, a really good quarterback, franchise quarterback, which I consider mm-hmm. Dak to be, it's hard to find in this league. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've seen a lot of teams go through QB purgatory over the course of the last 10 years and drafting and then cutting and then redrafting. I mean, look at the Bears. I mean, finally, they might have their guy. We'll see as time goes on. But, the Cowboys have been very fortunate to not really be in that situation, really, since Jerry Jones has taken over. Early 2000s, yes, there was some kind of purgatory there, but then they were able to fall on Romo, and then that kind of worked out, and then that led right into Dak. I think there might be a little bit of privilege when it comes to Cowboys fans as far as seeing the quarterback position and understanding that, hey, that's going to be okay no matter who's there. That's not the case. And in my eyes, I would sign Dak, give him what he wants. Seeing what he did under McCarthy last year as he got more comfortable in that system, I want to see that system more and more if I'm the Cowboys.
And even though the Cowboys can feel exactly like you feel and what you said, most teams, I would say almost all, Jerry Jones, a little bit of a wild card, but that's what they're going to, they can have those beliefs, mm-hmm. but they're not going to say that publicly. Mm-hmm. You're going to go on the radio and you're going to say exactly what Stephen Jones said. It's a priority. Yep. And I do believe it is a priority if Dak's willing to take somewhat of a team-friendly deal. I don't think it's a priority if he wants to be the next highest-paid quarterback. I think they're just fine letting him play the season out and evaluating it at the end of the year. And if they lose him, that's the risk that they're willing to take. Obviously, Jerry Jones didn't become as wealthy as he is without taking some major risks. And so I think that all factors in. But my big thing is just because you say something like that publicly doesn't mean behind the scenes you aren't kind of like, no, we want to see a little bit more, because you just wouldn't say that publicly. You know, like,
are you surprised at this point that it hasn't gotten done?
From a Cowboys standpoint, a little bit, just because of the fact of that most of the decisions they've made over the last decade have been pretty conservative. And I think the conservative obvious decision would be, oh, you have a top 10 franchise quarterback, just give him the next franchise quarterback money, because, hey, these guys are all going to get paid. Whatever you pay him right now, he might even be the number one highest paid quarterback. That'll get topped by somebody in another year or so, and before you know it, he'll be the fifth or sixth highest paid. But this seems like it's there's risk to it, because, you know, the one I always compare it to, is just because I know it well, is just that, I don't know, there were people, and don't get me wrong, in Detroit that thought Stafford was the problem, but, I mean, I never did. I was like, this guy's a really good player.
Yeah.
The organization's more of a problem than Matthew Stafford is, but when they moved on from him, you looked at it as like, well, you're getting rid of a really good player, and what are you getting in return? And it ended up being great for the organization, ended up being great for, obviously, both. The Rams. Yeah. And so sometimes change, you know, can kind of spark something, but my big thing is that you don't know who that next guy is, so that's the problem that I run into, is that basically if you're trying to put it in a tier standpoint, you could very easily go from having, let's say, the seventh or eighth best quarterback in the NFL to having the 17th or 25th best quarterback in the NFL, and how is that getting you any closer? You know, the odds of you getting one of those guys that are in the top six or seven above him are very, very unlikely. And so because of that, you are certainly gambling.
I think a lot of people are underestimating the process. They're underestimating development. And what the Dallas Cowboys did last year, and when they did it, I was like, ooh, okay, I see what they're doing. By trading for Trey Lance, that was a very strategic move. That was very strategic. And people have Dak didn't just walk in the building as Dak. You know what I mean? Like there's development that happens. There's film study, there's decision making, there's practice reps, there's coaching that goes on, and it makes players better when they step on the field to actually compete than what they were when they first walked in the building. And I don't think that Trey Lance is getting a fair – he's not getting a fair – I don't want to say opportunity. I don't really know what the word is. But people aren't giving him enough respect, I think. Now, they're looking at what he's done.
Right.
But they don't take into consideration the situation that he came into. They don't take into consideration the experience that he had when he came into the league, the pressures, all those things. Trey Lance – now it's all to be seen. Now that's I'm still speaking from that standpoint. We haven't seen it, but why doesn't Trey Lance get the same opportunities and same respect that Dak did when he first came on the roster?
Because of the position, there's far more misses than hits at quarterback.
I totally and they're just agree.
For also, every guy that you're trying to give time to, you're going to get a Mitchell Trubisky. You're going to get Zach Wilson. There's just so many quarterbacks that you give that chance to, and it does not work out. It's a disaster.
And again, everything's a roll of the dice.
Yes.
Everything's a roll of the dice. Every player. They have no control over a player is going to be amazing or not. They can put him in the best position possible based upon his attributes and his characteristics that he has. When I look at Trey Lance, I look at a bigger, stronger, faster, better arm version of Dak.
Oh
no! Listen. I'm talking about from attributes. Where am I wrong?
Bigger, stronger. He's not bigger or stronger than Dak at all.
He's taller than
Dak. He's a string bean.
I just seen the man 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, he looks good, but Dak. Have you seen Dak?
I stood next to him.
Dak stood next to him
2 weeks ago, and I'm looking up at him. And I'm 6'3", 248 right now.
Yeah.
Well, here, let me give you another side of this whole thing.
He's fast. Okay, so we can argue over the height. He's faster. He has a far stronger arm, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Okay, so accuracy, we have to wait and see that.
We're describing Joe Milton right now.
Okay, I hear you. But I'm talking about, like, everything else can be coached. And we haven't seen it. We haven't had the opportunity to see it. So what I'm saying is give him respect. Let's not look past him as if he's not capable of stepping in and being a really good quarterback. We don't know.
We don't know.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. They have more information than we have in regards to the capabilities and where Trey Lance currently is today. But with those attributes, at that point in time, if he is willing and able, now how much pressure are you putting on your coaching staff to develop this talented player to be what you need him to be?
Okay, more so for the fan asking, why not pick up his fifth-year option? I know the answer.
I know the answer, too, yes.
Yeah. Money.
Yeah,
exactly.
Facts.
Well, the other part in this whole thing that
prove it. Prove it in camp.
Yeah.
Prove it in preseason. You know, it's a prove it.
That's the main thing.
I just want to put that out there for those listeners.
And then there's one other part of this, too, that I don't think needs to be forgotten here. This isn't Joey Harrington coming from the Matt Millen Lions where you're just like, well, they really don't know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. The 49ers were thrilled to take a fourth-round pick for him, and the 49ers are one of, if not the best run organizations in the league.
You're not a fit for
and
every
so
team.
That I understand that, yeah. But I'm just saying again to get a be thrilled to take a fourth for him from that organization. Mm-hmm. Like as a fan of football, you have to look at that and be like, that's kind of interesting. I wonder why they would
Chicago
pass
Bears
up
just
on
took a what a seventh for Fields?
Sixth, yeah.
Six? I mean, like that's, I mean,
Chicago Bears, San Francisco 49ers.
Fit for every
how organizations are ranked. Not, we are not doing this.
But you're not a fit for every organization. You're just not. Yeah. I know plenty of guys who are amazing players but did not have great careers because of the systems that they fell into.
I hate doing this because when you do this, then it's like you just come off as looking like you're talking bad about the person.
No.
All you're trying to do is just present the other side.
Of course.
I do think Trey Lance could be a good quarterback. I'm just saying that it's pretty obvious that the 49ers know what they're doing. And to give him up for as little as they gave him up, everybody on the outside that follows the league should kind of look at that and be like, well,
yeah,
I mean,
but I mean
maybe he's the guy.
every quarterback in the league doesn't fit in San Francisco's offense. They're not going to value them the same. And I don't disagree with you.
How many quarterbacks do they move on from teams that don't get the chance? So you never see anything positive that go to another organization. You're just like, damn, where did that come from?
Yeah, teams aren't jumping ship with quarterbacks like that. But
saying, when you have a really good one, you don't let them leave the building. Name one. I want to know who it is.
Jared Goff. No.
Thomas Brady.
Jared Goff. Jared Goff got the Rams to a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You know, Drew Brees had success in San Diego. It wasn't just this creation that Sean Payton made.
Fair.
You know, Matthew Stafford, he had success in Detroit where you were like, yeah, that's a good player. There's a reason why he was a 1-1. And then he goes and wins Super Bowl. Like, how many guys do teams move on for? You're just like, who knew what this was?
I don't disagree with you, but what I can say.
Call in, text, whatever. But what I can say is, I'd love to know.
All players don't fit in all schemes.
True. That is true.
And some coaches are not positioned to coach certain types of individuals. And some coaches have less patience for certain personality types than other coaches. So if you're not a fit in the system, if you're not a fit for the organization, you're not a fit for the coaching staff, they're going to move on from you.
Shanahan did say at some point, and I don't know when this happened because I only saw this clip recently, but he said that he felt like he failed Trey Lance. And it was tough to like see that from a coach's perspective because that was the guy that they invested the number 3 overall pick in, and that was the guy that he wanted to bring in and develop. And Trey Lance is a good dude, and I think if you have that coach-player relationship with Trey, he'll listen, he'll be coachable, and it's tough to move on. So, yeah, I think at the end of the day, if you ask the coaching staff, they probably felt like they still had a year or two left with Trey to try to work it out. But I think when it comes to an organizational standpoint, when you see Mr. Irrelevant pass him up, when you see Sam Darnold pass him up, it's like, all right, let's get value out of this. So it's like, on one hand, I understand it, but on the other hand, it's still tough for the coaching staff. I don't think everybody in that building necessarily wanted him out of there.
Yeah.
And one last point when it comes to Trey having the same expectations for him, or the same, I guess, playing field for
Correct.
Him going into 2024 as you did for Dak going into 2016. The only difference is Trey Lance, we have seen what he's put Correct. On an NFL preseason field before, at least. Granted, a year of development under the system, who knows if it works out. As to John's point, it hasn't really been, you know, proven to work in the past, but we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a little bit that you have to put a caveat on that with, because that was Dak's first NFL action, period. Like, before that preseason
game,
the only thing that we had seen in Oxnard was Showers.
Jameel Showers.
Jameel Showers looking like he was better than Dak.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think once we do see it on the preseason field, yes, but you have to also factor it in with what he's put on the
Understood.
Field in the past.
I mean, with how little they've done this offseason, and obviously high draft picks being offensive linemen, it's hard to really get a big, great read on that.
Yeah.
Nobody is a bigger fan than me of watching Trey Lance in training camp. Mm-hmm. It's one of, if not the most exciting things that we will have to look forward to, just because we don't really know what is he going to look like here. I mean, we can watch him out there in that first, whatever, 20 minutes before practice starts that we see him throwing around during the season. But to actually see him there and actually
with
see
the
him.
Ones, I mean,
yeah, because this is just my prediction. What I think is going to happen with him is I think that there's going to be some wow plays, but then I think that there's going to be some like, I don't know, like the consistency isn't there all the time. And that's what I really want to see during the preseason. Is let him go, because here's the other thing. Like, Dak's not going to play in the preseason. They know what they have in Cooper Rush. There's going to be so many opportunities for him to play in the preseason, and it'll be interesting to see what he does with those opportunities, because he can do things with his legs. You know, he is a young guy. He knows that he's trying to put – this is a great opportunity for him to make himself a lot of money. He's about to become a free agent. He's going to be trying to ball out at the highest level. Like, he is – I'm very excited
to
watch
him. His back's against the wall? His back is against the wall?
I mean, yeah, you could say that. He's going into the last year of his contract.
Love it. Everybody.
It's a good thing.
Love it.
All right, boys, let's take our first break. More Talking Cowboys after this.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savannah. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Black Rifle Coffee Company serves premium coffee to people who love America. When you drink Black Rifle Coffee, you are directly supporting veterans, law enforcement, and first responders in your community. Black Rifle's expert roasters love coffee almost as much as Texas loves football, so it makes sense that America's Coffee partnered with America's team. Go online at blackriflecoffee.com and fuel up with the official coffee of the Dallas Cowboys. That's BlackRifleCoffee.com to fuel up today.
Cowboys fans, after that move, we've just coined the term Rowdy Replay. Let's roll back the tape.
Okay, there's our mascot Rowdy cheering on the boys, and now he's on his phone on his Bank of America mobile banking app?
Staying on top of his finances with his virtual financial assistant, Erica.
Bank of America's digital tools are so impressive. Cowboys fans just can't stop banking. Learn more at BankofAmerica.com/can't stop banking.
Erica is only available in the English language. You must download the latest version of the mobile banking app, only available on select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. Member FDIC.
Welcome back into Dear Doctor, the show where I answer life's questions with an ice-cold can of Dr. Pepper. Sheila, let's hear from our next caller, would you?
Dear Doctor, my friend supported me during a tough time, but what's the right gift that says, thanks for being a shoulder to cry on?
Okay, this one's easy. I say, give her a delicious Dr. Pepper. Nothing says, thanks, girl, better than a one-of-a-kind soda. Yes, any Dr. Pepper flavor will do. Now, just a reminder that I don't need to be a real doctor to know that Dr. Pepper is the one you deserve.
Back to Talkin' Cowboys.
Welcome back to Talkin' Cowboys, presented by Black Raffle Coffee, the official coffee sponsor of the Dallas Cowboys. Our next segment is brought to you by Invisalign, the official smile of the Dallas Cowboys. Looking at Isaiah Stand back with the pearly whites yet again. All right, boys. So last week we didn't really get into the later round picks, and I kind of wanted to do that with our scout expert here. Nick Harris.
Expertise.
Not that you haven't talked about these players enough, but I really wanted to get into like the later round picks, more so Carson, Flournoy, and Rodgers. Yeah. So did you have any insight you wanted to give us here on Talking Cowboys?
Well, I'm working on a series right now on DallasCowboys.com where I've been reaching out to the college position coaches of all of these draft picks. I've gotten 6 of the 8 so far, and I'm kind of working those out throughout the week. So yesterday was Cooper Beebe. Go back and
shouts to that article, by the way. Go check that out on DallasCowboys.com.
Thank you.
It's really, really good.
You check that out. There was some really good insight on Cooper Beebe. And I'll start with there, even though that is not what you asked me about. He was recruited to play defensive line initially at Kansas State. And because of COVID and transfer portal, and they were flipping a new era at Kansas State with a different coaching staff, he had to slide in and play a lot of offensive line his freshman year. And they were like, hey, you're pretty good at this. And so they just kept sliding him in and sliding him in. There's some really good stuff in there. Go through that article if y'all have the interest. But as I've been talking to these 6 of the 8 so far, I'm still waiting on 2, Notre Dame and Southeast Missouri State. I need y'all to come through for me. I'm still waiting.
Put it out there.
Yeah, but I've talked with a position coach for Kalen Carson, position coach for Nathan Thomas, offensive lineman at Louisiana Lafayette, and then position coach for Justin Rodgers. And I think what I've kind of pulled away from these 3 guys, and it's something you can kind of pull away from the entire draft class, is all of these guys had to earn it in some way, shape, or form. And not to say that you don't have to earn it at the college level to get to the NFL. Yes, you're going to have to grind at some point, and you're going to have to earn your keep 1,000%. You don't get drafted by not, you know, caring for it or trying to earn it. But you look at Ryan Flournoy, for example, having to go to D2, then having to go to JUCO, and then having to bounce back and go to an FCS program and come out of an FCS program to not only be a draft prospect, but then to get drafted. You could look at Nathan Thomas. He was a guy that came in, and he was primarily from a wing T high school, had played tight end, so he's basically an extension of the offensive tackle position in high school, but had nothing coming out of high school, so he stayed home, went to Lafayette, and blossomed there as an offensive tackle prospect with these really great run-blocking attributes. You look at Justin Rodgers. Granted, he was bouncing back from Kentucky whenever he hit the portal, but whenever he got to Auburn, they were still making him earn his spot on the field, and he was able to do that. He's got that 325-pound frame that was able to really help them in the run game, and he had to work to be able to get onto the field, and going into last season, he wasn't necessarily the starter. So you look at all of these guys, and there's a little bit of a blue-collar mentality with them. And it was something that I kind of took away from the first couple of days of the draft class, too. Tyler Guyton, you know, he had to earn his spot on the offensive line in general whenever he got to Oklahoma, and then to start at tackle last year. He had to earn that. You look in the second round, that's another small school guy in Marshawn Nealon from Western Michigan. You got to be able to earn getting to the second round as a group of 5 prospect from Western Michigan. And I've talked about Cooper Beebe, and you could look at Maris Luofau as well. But I think that's kind of something that's kind of stood out. I think these later round picks kind of mirror what they were probably looking for in the front round picks too. And sure, let's compare that to past draft classes where there's some other guys that have come into this program that have potentially needed to quote-unquote earn it. Yeah, look at Tyler Smith, look at Deron Bland, anybody else, and so forth. So Jake Ferguson. So I think it might have been a little bit of an approach that this scouting department took going into this draft cycle, just to be able to come away with some high character guys, A, but also some guys that will be able to work for what they want to do on the field.
Rodgers intrigues me because he's their last pick, seventh rounder, but he's, to me, if I'm him, I'm thrilled.
Yeah.
Because of all those guys they took on that final day, he's got the best chance to come in and get an opportunity, just because they don't have much depth at all, defensive tackle. So for being a guy that's a seventh round pick, if I was him, man, I'd be thrilled about this opportunity, because he could get some decent snaps week one immediately, as long as he shows that, you know, he can go out there and be somewhat effective.
I mean, damn, think about it. I mean, the only other one tech, quote unquote, on the roster is Mozzie Smith, who's going through offseason shoulder issues. I mean, you got Carl Davis too, but I don't think you're feeling comfortable about starting Carl Davis, unless we want to flash back to Miami last year. But
no, D tackle is very much like running back to me, where it would not surprise me if a move is made, whether it's when we're out in Oxnard or after teams cut down to 53, just because I think they need another veteran in that defensive tackle crew there, because I do believe that they'll keep four. That's usually what, you know, four defensive tackles, and so I don't feel like they're finished there.
Yeah, what position do they pull from the UFL this year? Running back,
right,
or defensive tackle?
Yeah.
It's gonna be somebody.
Yeah,
two for two there.
Yeah,
looking at the Battle Hawks there, that'd be great. All right, so another question that we had, more so in the mailbag, the undrafted free agents. I know that's a pool that you've been looking at really heavily into. Mm-hmm. Are there any of them that stick out that intrigue you from the undrafted free agents that we signed?
Do y'all have any before I start? Any?
So I just wrote for this morning. I ranked them all.
Least
likely to make the team.
Can I say who my number one is before you say what your number one is?
Yeah,
I think my number one is Amani Johnson from well, you say make the team. Do you mean 53?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Then I probably have a different answer. But I think as far as making potentially the practice squad or the 53, Amani Johnson out of Nevada, 100 tackles last year, big, long, got the crazy length that works in the pass game across the middle of the field, but probably a strong safety at the next level because he steps up in the run game and provides so much help in front of him. I think he's going to be a really fun addition to that safety room.
I'd love to hear the phone call they made to Brevin Spanford, the tight end out of Minnesota. He's clearly the best player, like in terms of ranking wise. And for them to convince him to come here when the tight end room already looks like it's pretty solid, I'm very interested to hear what they told him. I think he's got a decent chance of maybe filling that Sean McCune role or something like that, you know. But it depends on what you get from John Stevens Jr. Obviously, Peyton Hendershot. I think Luke Schoonmaker is obviously on the team. He's a second round pick. They're not going to be moving on from him, you know. So outside of Jake Ferguson, what is there at tight end? And out of those 12 guys, two of the players they brought in were both tight ends, which kind of surprised me.
But so is that more of a special teams sort of situation?
It could be, but I always look at when they cut down to 53, you're not keeping six tight ends. You're probably not keeping more than four, you know? Right. So that was really interesting to me.
Linda Wells also has an amazing track record for developing tight ends. So they're going to keep feeding him with opportunities.
Yeah. If he likes a guy, you grab him.
I had a big drop off of my top four. So next I had Jason Johnson, the linebacker out of UCF, just because he was a tackling machine for a couple of years, you know, over 100 tackles guy. And to your point, that is special teams all day long. So that one made a lot of sense to me. Plus, I think they're going to go deeper at linebacker. I think they keep six linebackers as opposed to five in years past. So, and then the next is just because of what we were talking about, the Denzel Daxon, just because he's a defensive tackle out of Illinois. They need defensive tackle help. He had to be the easiest sell when they got on the phone, whatever it was, sixth, seventh round. Like, no.
This is our depth chart.
Yeah. You want to be here. So he was next.
Quick note about Denzel Daxon. He's a native of the Bahamas. He didn't move to the U.S. until he was 16, didn't start playing football until his senior year of high school, ended up landing at the University of Illinois, and was a really good run defender for them last year. And if you look in their draft class, they had a three tech that went in the second round of the Commanders that probably could have gone in the first round. So those two guys were menaces in the middle of that defensive line for Illinois last year.
And so the last of my top group that clearly stands out to me, so it's those three, and then my fourth would be Nathaniel Pete, the running back out of Missouri, because he's the only running back that they brought in. So that, again, I think would be an easy call, like to a young running back that didn't get drafted, probably is upset, thought that they should have been drafted. Like, no, you got a chance. You could make this team in a variety of roles. The only thing I didn't like about him is he just doesn't have great numbers. Like, you know, like 350 rushing yards in a season, 400 yards in a season tops. Like, he hasn't had like a real big, he's not like the, you know, 900, 1,000 yard back that some of these other guys were that were probably draftable. And then it drops off for me because of the next guy I had was Byron Vaughns, the DN out of Baylor, just because I don't think they really need to add any.
What are the attributes about Pete that you think kind of brings him here to Dallas? Like, what do you think they're looking at as far as?
Yeah.
Juice. Yeah, yeah. I think they were just looking for a guy that could potentially bring some juice to that room. And they were like, okay, that guy's been a big play machine in the past, and he's worked in the return game a little bit. He was more of a complimentary, or he was the complimentary back at Missouri. But I think maybe using him in some situational receiving situations in preseason, kind of see what he could bring to the NFL field. I feel like it was just, hey, we need a running back. That guy's still on the board. Let's grab him. I think it was one of those situations more so.
Like, Vaughns from Baylor intrigues me about, like, just where he was ranked of the players that were left. But when I look at edge rushers on this team, I don't know how guys are going to make it outside of the, you know, coming in late like that, because it seems pretty cut and dry. Again, how many edge rushers are you keeping? 5 or 6?
Yeah.
And it's like, so you already have Micah Parsons, DeMarcus Lawrence. You just drafted Marshawn Nealon. You got Sam Williams. So that 4, to me, is the top of the depth chart. So then the next 2, you're going to be fighting against Viliami Fehoko, Chauncey Golston. I don't know. There's probably a few others in there. I mean, I'm not saying it's impossible, but it just seems like that crew might be pretty set.
I mean, yeah, we saw it last year with Isaiah Land. And gosh, you would have thought that the Cowboys dropped CeeDee Lamb whenever they cut Isaiah Land from the roster. Yeah. Fans lost their minds.
He balled in the preseason.
He did. He did. He had a sack last year for the Colts, but he only played like 10 snaps. And I was like, why are we freaking out about a guy who's only going to play 10 snaps?
Yeah. Mm.
Neither here nor there.
People just fall in love with certain players.
I think
it comes to preseason.
I would have been the same way if they had dropped Lipke, so like, I understand.
Yeah.
Who were you going to say?
As the number one guy that I could potentially make the team? I would probably go Daxon and then Spanford, mm-hmm. just because, again, that one tech conversation that we just had. But then Spanford, I think he was – I had him as the second best run-blocking tight end in this draft class. I think he's got a really good feel for that, and he's a red zone threat too. He's going to be a big-time red zone option for Trey Lance in the preseason. So I think they'll see a little bit of that, and then they're going to look at Peyton Hendershot and kind of look at what he brings versus John Stevens Jr., which both are receiving-type tight ends. Yep. And I think that's where the decision comes into play, is either John Stevens Jr. or Peyton Hendershot. But that's just me theorizing 4 months out.
Yeah, this was way harder to do this year than last. Last year it was so easy to have. Like, my number one by far was TJ Bass, just because he was a draftable guy, and it was clearly they needed help on the interior of the offensive line. Like, he's, again, another one that call had to be so easy. Like, you know, you can come in right away. You got a good chance to make this roster. You'll probably even play as a rookie. And if you're an undrafted guy getting that opportunity, I'm sure that was probably an easy person to convince. But one point on that, when the draft ended, Stephen Jones did say they had 10 guys left. Well, he said around 10 guys left, so we'll say 9 or 10, that were on their board still, that they were going to try and sign as undrafted rookie free agents. And so a group of us, I think you were on the call last week, we got a chance to talk to Will McClay last Wednesday on a conference call with beat writers, and he said that they were able to sign, I think he said about half, so I'm thinking 4 or 5 of those guys. So there were probably 4 or 5 guys that they probably wanted that were on their draft board that signed elsewhere.
Yeah.
But
at least one of them is John Trey Hunter, the linebacker from Georgia State that went to the Patriots. There was a back and forth there with him, but he decided to go to New England instead.
Well, I did have a question more so for Isaiah. I know you had to explain basically the new kickoff rules to the XFL whenever that started to happen with them, whenever the XFL basically kicked off. And now that we're implementing new kickoff rules here, does the personnel on special teams change?
Yes.
Okay.
Drastically.
In what ways?
You're going to have a lot more tight end / linebacker, DN type guys out there simply because of the fact you're standing 5 yards away from your opponent. And once that receiver and once that returner touches the ball, you're now engaging 5 yards apart. There is no longer a speed element on the coverage side of it. Now you need size, and you need size to be able to move guys in the direction in which you want to move them. So, you know, you're looking at more, you know, 250 pound range guys that are going to be beneficial to you because you can actually drop your butt, get leverage, you know, and shift guys to one side and then let your returner do the work.
Maybe another reason why the tight end room is kind of filling up.
Getting a little thicker, yeah. The more you can do in that regard, the now less defensive backs Yeah. Typically, you get a lot of defensive backs when it comes down to special teams in terms of your coverage. Anywhere, you're ranging guys anywhere from what we call each side of the kicker. You know, so you start L on the left side. It starts with L5 on the right side. It starts with R5, and then it goes all the way out. Usually, the guys that are more internal, they're R5, you know, R5, L4, L5, L4, R4. Those guys are usually your penetrators, what we call them. Mm-hmm. Those are the guys that are usually running down the field and being physical and hitting the wedge or whatever it might be. Now, that's not going to be the case. Now, you're looking at more physical all the way across the board, and you might have a handful of defensive backs that are sitting on the outside just in case they have to run somebody down. But you're going to have a lot larger guys now. So linebackers, DNs, tight ends, those guys are going to be valued much more in that regard of the game.
More Sam Williams special teams.
Special teams.
So you think it'll be more of those guys and then less of corners and possibly like fifth, sixth receiver
types? So it's going to be harder for those guys to make rosters.
Interesting.
Now, we're talking about one part of the special teams game. We're just talking about kickoff, right? Exactly. So that's not gonna completely change how the guys are selected.
Well,
but
if Justin
they're
Fields
have
is out there on kickoffs, then
Justin Fields can definitely be out there as a returner.
Yeah, that's what the Steelers are talking about. That's
definitely
insane.
Be out there. I came in and was a returner for the Cowboys. I hadn't done returning my whole life. I played quarterback my whole life, and then first opportunity I get in the league is as a return man. So if you can use your legs and make plays, and have the threat of being able to throw it. That's always
what I'm saying. I think as far as laterals go, I think that's going to change.
Yeah, I mean, you might get one of those a year, two at most. Yeah. So, I mean, that's always a threat, but
special
not too
teams
big
is always
threat.
Looking for a way to make those plays.
Absolutely, man. But it's all about who can make one guy miss, because that's all this return game is all going to be about, making one guy miss. If everybody, if 9 of my 10 guys that are blocking for me do their job.
I'm genuinely so excited.
If I go 90% on my blocking assignments and my return man can make one man miss, we're in business.
I'm
That's
excited
all I'm
too,
for.
Just because it's so different. It's going to be a change from how boring things were getting.
Yeah.
And also just because of, like, I'm not even thinking of really the kickoff or the game starting. I'm thinking late in games. Like, when you mentioned the Fields thing, I'm thinking, like,
situation.
Teams bringing in a player Correct. That you're like, wow, I can't believe they didn't. Now, I don't know that that'll happen necessarily that much with the Cowboys, just because if Kevontae Turpin's healthy, I think they really like him, you know, being a guy with the ball in hand. But maybe a CeeDee Lamb or something like that, that in a certain situation where you're like,
in the third or the fourth,
yeah, we need this.
Yeah.
You know, like, and not just the Cowboys. I mean, any team where, like, a team you're preparing for, you're just like, well, you know, we better prepare for this guy potentially being back there. I know he hasn't typically done it, but late in the game, if they really need a big play, you know, it's like a minute to go or 2 minutes to go in a game or something like that, there could be some opportunities for some players that you typically don't see back there, you know, returning.
Yeah, the return, I'm less intrigued about who the returners would be. I'm more intrigued about who are going to be the blockers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really interested in what teams are going to put out there in terms of personnel, because you're going to need big physical guys. John, you're 5 yards away from me. I mean, we're engaging almost immediately.
Yeah.
Right? You know what I'm saying? You're going to make the first move, and I'm reacting off of you. I have a direction in which I want to block you. If I'm more physically imposing than you are, chances are, if I have the proper leverage, I'm going to win. So if I'm 260 and you're 240.
And the other factor in all this, too, just from having covered several different, you know, special teams coordinators, you got a wild one here. Like, you got one
exactly.
that will try wild things, and, you know, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but you know, John Fossil is not shy about doing things that are outside the box to try and find a way that something can work. I mean, that's the reason he's been doing this job for a long time.
This is the guy you want to play for when this rule gets instilled.
Absolutely.
This is exactly where you want to be as a special teamer.
For sure.
All right, boys, let's take our final break. We'll get to your questions after this, actually, in the third segment. If you want to leave us a text, it is 817-290-3298. Once again, 817-290-3298. We'll be right back after this.
They say champions are remembered, but legends are never forgotten. United Ag and Turf offers a winning lineup of John Deere equipment built to tackle any challenge on and off the field. Legendary John Deere tractors, combines, residential mowers, commercial mowers, compact construction equipment, Gator utility vehicles, and a full line of golf and sports turf equipment. United Ag and Turf, the official Ag and Turf equipment supplier of the Dallas Cowboys. Visit unitedagandturf.com to find a location near you.
Are you ready to take coffee off your grocery list forever? Black Rifle Coffee Club is here to help. As a coffee club member, you'll get your favorite coffees roasted, packaged, and shipped to your door free of charge on your preferred schedule. Set it, forget it, and never run low on coffee again. Members also get exclusive deals on coffee, products, and discounts from partner brands. Ease your mind and let Black Rifle worry about your coffee supply. Go to blackriflecoffee.com to join the coffee club today.
It's the official men's skincare brand of the Dallas Cowboys, Jack Black. And right now, Cowboys fans can get 15% off their $75 order. Plus, because every deal needs a playmaker, your order will include a free five-piece skincare set and free shipping. The Jack Black Playmaker is four of Jack's favorites and a full-sized intense therapy lip balm. Make a play for the playmaker at getjackblack.com/cowboys with the code COWBOYSVIP. That's getjackblack.com/cowboys with the code COWBOYSVIP.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savannah. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Back to Talkin' Cowboys.
Welcome back to Talkin' Cowboys, presented by Black Rifle Coffee. This portion of the Talkin' Cowboys is brought to you by Quaker Oats, a super trusted superfood. The Quaker Oats is the official oatmeal sponsor of the Dallas Cowboys. Boys, did you have your oats today? I know, John, I will not ask you that, but...
Don't ask me.
I did not. Actually, my daughter, I looked at my daughter yesterday. She likes to come home and have something to eat because I think their lunch time is like at 10 o'clock in the morning. It's ridiculous. So they go the rest of the day without eating anything except for a snack. And she comes home and she has the biggest bowl of oatmeal. And I'm like, yo, how many bags of Quaker Oats did you put in there? And she looks at me. She's like, three. And I'm like, did you dose for that?
You're raising her right.
My daughter's type 1 diabetic. So I'm like, hey, that's a lot of carbs. She's like, yes, I dose for it. I'm like, that's a big bowl of Quaker Oats. I'm using that on the show tomorrow.
Well, it is the super trusted superfood, and yes, at least she knows that.
Yep, it is.
All right, boys, we wanted to get into some fan questions. We got the text line open. Again, the number is 817-290-3298. One of the questions we received didn't get a name, didn't get a area code.
What?
434. But if you don't win a game or win 12, I feel it was a fair... Wait, so if you don't win a game or if you win 12, I feel it was a failure and could care less. QB not getting us to promised land... And he has talent to put with him.
It's just a statement. It's just one of those.
I guess. Right. I guess. Not necessarily a question.
4-3-4 coming from Central Virginia.
So Super Bowl or bust.
The problem is, though, I will say for anybody that, you know, I think that there's a lot of people when it comes to sports, when their team is kind of where, let's say the Cowboys are right now, where you kind of feel like you're kind of stuck in the middle. Stagnant. And you need to make something to make a move. I think that a lot of people will be like, well, just be bad for 1 year. And then you get the high draft pick or whatever like that. This team has got too much talent for it to ever be one of those bottom two or three teams. Correct. It won't be on that level. So you're not going to be – like, if they have a really bad year, it will look like 2020. And even then, you got – I think they had the 10th pick before they traded back to 12, and they took Micah that year. So, I mean, I guess you could have that year where you're like – 2015, where they were really bad when Romo got hurt, and they ended up getting that fourth pick when they got Zeke. But this is – you know, it's just not like the NBA where, hey, if you're just kind of in there, it comes down to a lottery. Maybe you get the one or maybe you get the two pick and you didn't really deserve. Like, I just don't see – I think there's too much talent on this team for it to draft really any lower than maybe 8 to 10.
Here's a scenario for you, and it's because there is too much talent that has been drafted and developed on this team. They are already running into, quote-unquote, cap hell, trying to figure out how to extend Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, Micah Parsons. Once those three get done, then you got to do Tyler Smith, De'Ron Bland, Jake Ferguson. Once those are done, then you got to – I wonder if it gets to a point to where they really just can't afford to keep all their guys.
Yeah.
And they look at the top of the draft. Hey, we have this all-pro piece that we can't afford. Let's trade and try to get a higher draft pick.
To be honest with you, that's like
– that you'll have to pay down the road, though. Yeah, I mean
– that's like 2-3 years from now.
But I just being honest with that scenario, bring that on. That's a great problem to have.
Oh, yeah.
That is a great problem to have because at least you're drafting well enough where you feel confident that you'll get other players that will have to step up. Because you're just talking about right now, what if in another year or two you find out that, oh, wow, you know what? Tyler Guyton is going to be a guy that's going to be here for 10-plus years or whatever. You'll happily pay that guy because he's your left tackle, and you're like, wow, hey, I can't believe we got him at 20. They can move back to 9, 29.
29,
yeah, we got him at 29. This guy's performing like we would have taken him in the top 10. You'd gladly welcome that. Or if Marshawn Nealon, if he ends up being another DeMarcus Lawrence, you'd want that. That'd be great to have. And then you have to make those tough decisions. But that's a great spot to be in as far as I'm concerned.
I got another question here from Morris McCray from Tacoma, Washington. Stanky Town,
Tack Town, baby.
Excuse me?
Tacoma stinks as a city, like literally stinks. You drive up and it hits you in the nose. It's like a refinery there, I think. It's
fascinating.
This is a good question. And granted, not putting it out there for, we don't want this to happen. But let's just say Deck gets injured, misses 2 or 3 games, and Trey Lance plays well.
Oh, here we go.
And gets that opportunity at this position, does Dak get his job back?
It depends on how great he's playing.
Yes, he gets his job back. He could throw for 400 yards every game. He's getting his job back. There's nothing.
Yeah, I'm the wrong person to
ask. What part of the year?
Good question.
There's a lot of variables there.
I'm the wrong person to ask.
There are some variables.
Okay, let's say it's late in the year, right before playoffs.
Late in the year, right before playoffs, and he comes out and he starts bawling. Trey Lance is like absolutely
bawling. Let's say it's serviceable.
What's the injury? There's a lot of variables. Mm. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot of variables. It's easy to say no, Dak gets his job back, but there's a lot of variables there.
There's a scenario where Trey keeps the job.
Absolutely.
But I think I think there's 80% of the scenarios where Dak gets
And I don't disagree with you.
I would have said that about somebody else. I'm just saying. And Dak took his spot. So
That's what I was getting to. You will not there is nothing fair. I hate when people don't admit when they're wrong on, especially in sports and takes and stuff. There is nothing since I've covered the team I've been more wrong on than Romo not getting his job back. Yeah. And I'm talking as they were winning throughout, I was like, it doesn't matter. And there's several reasons for this. A lot of stuff behind the scenes, the coaching staff at that time, things like that, where I was like, nah, Romo's getting this thing back. I guarantee you if he's healthy, he's getting this thing back. And when he didn't, I was like, man, I can't believe that they did that. That's wild. That really surprised me. I do think it was the right move, obviously, going forward. But when that happened, I was like, that just shows you, man, that in this business, really anything is possible that you can't really rule anything out.
A lot of quarterbacks get their
opportunities. I do think it's highly unlikely that scenario right there that they would do that. But you can't sit there and say any of them. It's like, no, that would never happen.
A lot of variables.
All right, boys. That'll be it for Talking Cowboys. We will be back next Wednesday, 9 a.m. Storyline is going to be on to live today at 1 p.m. Thank you, Chris Beam. Thank you, Isaiah Standback, John Machota, Nick Harris. I'm Josh Rodriguez. We'll be back next week.
Rodriguez.
Later.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about you, Cowboys?